This is the Understanding God's Great Salvation podcast, hosted by Evangelist Daniel White III, the president of Gospel Light Society. This is Mrs. Marika White, the wife of Daniel White III. He has preached the gospel around the world in over 25 countries and across the United States for over 35 years. I have witnessed him doing this over 27 years of marriage. Right now, he's going to help us understand the true meaning of God's great salvation through Jesus Christ.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Understanding God's Great Salvation podcast. This is episode number 71. I am your host, Daniel White III, president of Gospel Light Society International. This podcast is designed to explain what it means to be saved from the power of sin and from the punishment of sin through Jesus Christ. This podcast is primarily for non-believers and some new believers, to help them to understand salvation better. And it will help you understand what it means to be saved from the power of sin and from the punishment of sin in an eternal hell, and have a home in an eternal heaven, as well as the blessings of the real abundant Christian life. God made salvation simple. However, down through the years, many people, including some preachers and other Christians, have made the matter of salvation complicated and confusing and convoluted. I know from my own experience that many people would get saved if someone would sit down with them and share with them from the Bible in a straightforward fashion what it really means to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. That is what I intend to do with this podcast. Let's start out with the Word of God, the Holy Bible. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Dear friends, today's God's Great Salvation quote is from Charles Spurgeon. He said, "The roaring thunder of the law and the fear of the terror of judgment are both used to bring us to Christ. But the final victory culminating in our salvation is won through God's loving kindness." Allow me to repeat that in your hearing. Charles Spurgeon said, "The roaring thunder of the law and the fear of the terror of judgment and the punishment of hell are both used to bring us to Christ, but the final victory culminating in our salvation is won through God's loving kindness." Our topic today is the text that made salvation plain to Charles Spurgeon, part 2, from the book Salvation Crystal Clear, part 1, or book 1. It is a set of two books. by Dr. Curtis Hudson, former pastor of the Forest Hills Baptist Church in Decatur, Georgia, and former editor of The Sword of the Lord, founded by Dr. John R. Rice. In the book Life and Works of Spurgeon, published in 1890, Mr. Spurgeon gives the following account of his conversion. He said, "I will tell you how I myself was brought to the knowledge of the truth. It may happen the telling of that will bring someone else to Christ. It pleased God in my childhood to convince me of sin. I lived a miserable creature, finding no hope, no comfort, thinking that surely God would never save me. At last, the worst came to the worst. I was miserable. I could do scarcely anything. My heart was broken in pieces. 6 months did I prayed agonizingly with all my heart, and never had an answer. I resolved that in the town where I lived, I would visit every place of worship in order to find out the way of salvation. I felt I was willing to do anything and be anything if God would only forgive me. I set off, determined to go round to all the chapels, and I went to all the places of worship, and though I dearly venerate the men that occupy those pulpits now, and did so then, I am bound to say that I never heard them once fully preach the gospel." Allow me to say that again, because this is a problem in our nation today and in the world today. He said, "I am bound to say that I never heard them once fully preach the gospel. I mean by that they preached truth, great truths, many good truths that are fitting to many of their congregation, spiritually minded people. But what I wanted to know was, how can I get my sins forgiven? And they never once told me that. I wanted to hear how a poor sinner under a sense of sin might find peace with God. And when I went, I heard a sermon on 'Be not deceived, God is not mocked,' which cut me up worse, but did not say how I might escape. I went again another day, and the text was something about the glories of the righteous. Nothing for poor me. I was something like a dog under the table, and not allowed to eat of the children's food. I went time after time, and I can honestly say I don't know that I ever went without prayer to God, and I am sure there was not a more attentive hearer in all the place than myself, for I panted and longed to understand how I might be saved. At last, one snowy day, it snowed so much I could not go to the place I had determined to go to, and I was obliged to stop on the road, and it was a blessed stop to me. I found rather an obscure street and turned down a court, and there was a little chapel. I wanted to go somewhere, but I did not know this place. It was the Primitive Methodist Chapel. I had heard of these people from many and how they sang so loudly that they made people's heads ache. But that did not matter. I wanted to know how I might be saved. And if they made my head ache ever so much, I did not care. So sitting down, the service went on, but no minister came. At last, a very thin-looking man came into the pulpit and opened his Bible and read these words, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." Just setting his eyes upon me, as if he knew me all by heart, he said, "Young man, you are in trouble." Well, I was, sure enough. Says he, "You will never get out of it unless you look to Christ." And then lifting up his hands, he cried out, as only, I think, a Primitive Methodist could do, "Look, look, look. It is only look. I saw at once the way of salvation." Oh, how I did leap for joy at that moment. I know not what else he said. I did not take much notice of it. I was so possessed with that one thought. I was so possessed with that one thought. Like as when the brazen serpent was lifted up, they only looked and were healed. I had been waiting to do 50 things, but when I heard this word, "Look," what a charming word it seemed to me. Oh, I looked until I could almost have looked my eyes away, and in heaven I will look on steel, in my joy unutterable. I now think I am bound never to preach a sermon without preaching to sinners. I do think that a minister who can preach a sermon without addressing sinners does not know how to preach. Wow, what a blessing. And so important what the Prince of Preachers said. On our next broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, we will continue this topic, the text that made salvation plain to Charles Spurgeon. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have learned here, we have been reminded here today that not only now, but even back then, for some strange reason, the devil has deceived preachers not to preach the gospel. But not only that, we learn also today the reason why we all call Charles Spurgeon the Prince of Preachers, because he never preached without sharing the gospel. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor for that, and we pray that from this point forward, every preacher would follow that example. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and help us all to be the shining lights and witnesses you want us to be. Amen. Dear friend, if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and the free pardon of your sins, and you want to get to know Him today, you want to be saved today, please believe that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and I'm quoting the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, the Word of God, the Bible. And you will be saved. The Bible states in the book of Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. It's just that simple. Until next time, my beloved, thank God for his simple, wonderful, great salvation. May God bless you real good.